The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Second hour of the Bible Study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. Numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to join us here on our live Bible Study Ask the Pastor program. Our guest today is Pastor Nabil Noor, who is pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Word had come earlier today that Pastor Noor is dealing with some pastoral issues today, and so we're very grateful that he is able to carve an hour out of his busy day to share with us. Good morning, Pastor.
Top of the day to you, Saint in Christ, Chuck, and to our beloved listeners.
The parish can keep you busy from time to time, can't it? As is the case for you today.
Yes, it is, actually. They keep us pretty busy serving God's people with the great power of His Word. And especially today, they had called from the nursing home that one of the saints was close to going home, and so I quickly ran over there, but the Lord had called the saint home, and so she went to be with the Lord, and so was able to minister to the family until we prepare for the bodily remains this coming week. So,
well, let's take a moment here to pray for that family and pray for the successful dissemination of God's Word here in this hour of conversation, if you would lead us.
Let's do that.
All right.
I surely will, but first a reading from Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord of heaven and earth, you are the Lord of the living and not the dead. We give thanks and praise to you that you have called your servant and Saint Letha to her eternal rest. We thank you for the gift of faith that you have given her throughout her earthly pilgrimage. And we thank you for the way that she has touched us with her kindness and grace and the way she lived for you as one of your own redeemed and baptized children. We pray that you would be with the family as they mourn her passing from this veil of tears to life eternal, and for the power of your word to bring comfort and consolation to those who mourn her passing, especially to this pastor, that he might bring the joy of the resurrection to their hearts and to their homes and to their heads. Father, we also pray that you would be with us and all of those who are listening via the internet, iPod, or on the radio, so that their hearts might rejoice in knowing that you have overcome death and given us the victory. So hear us for the sake of Christ, the one who rose from the grave, who defeated Satan, the one who has forgiven us our sins, your Son, our only Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I don't know if you'll be happy with this topic that I've chosen here to begin our conversation or not, but I'd like to talk a little bit about divorce. Divorce, the D word, as we sometimes say, really doesn't get a lot of conversation, I don't think, in Christian circles. It's sort of a quiet reality. As a parish pastor, are you confronted occasionally, regularly, or frequently with divorce problems in your congregation?
Well, I would say occasionally, not frequently. I would say that we deal with that as a parish pastor. As a matter of fact, I'm dealing with that right now with one of my saints, and so we've been working on this for almost a year and a half now, trying to help this couple get back and forth again with one another. So, yes, we do deal with that. Perhaps what we should set the tone for our listeners to understand what is the actual definition of divorce.
Let's have it.
Literally, the word to divorce is to cut off. You probably never thought of that, but if you were to divorce your finger from your hand, literally, you have to sever that finger from your hand. Divorce is a very painful thing. And the reason God in His Word says divorce is not good, because it's painful, and then we have to go back to Genesis chapter 2. The old English King James says a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The RSV and the NIV use the word united to one another. The Hebrew word is much stronger. The Hebrew word is davak, literally meaning to be glued to one another. So in order for you to be unglued, you have to sever something. So divorce is painful. So that should have set the parameter for our discussion, good brother.
Well, I am not so naive as to believe that divorce is not painful, that divorce is easy. Certainly, it is painful, particularly if there are children involved. It's very painful. But apparently, it's not too painful, Pastor, because there are so many people who are willing to go ahead and proceed with it, even for sometimes rather cavalier reasons. Apparently, it's not too painful to work against that.
Well, I don't know. I think if you were to visit with someone who has gone through a divorce, they may have said something to this effect when they were going through it. Oh, it's not too bad. It's a friendly divorce. Okay? But if you were to ask them 5, 10, 15 years later, what do you think? They would, if they are honest enough, they would say to you, it was miserable. It is painful. Most people say, oh, I can do it. I'm strong enough. But as a pastor, you deal with that, and they would say, I wished I would have listened. I wished I would have thought about it more. And part of the problem, added to that, the problem is that we who, not we, I don't want to use myself because I'm not in that situation, but those who go through the act of divorce and continue with that, they're not really in tune with the word of the Lord, and they are not willing to listen to God's word. Now, I'm not saying that there are those legitimate reasons for divorce, because God gives us those legitimate reasons, but even with that, He would say, please make every effort not to cut off those realities.
Well, actually, I ran into a friend of mine in the store here. This is a while back, and hadn't seen him for a while. And so, how you doing? I was aware that he had a son. I said, how's your son doing? And he said, well, you know, he's into this, he's into that, he's doing fine. We are a little concerned, though, because we're going to be getting a divorce. It kind of picked me off. I wasn't aware that we were going to head in that direction. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He says, oh, don't worry about it. He says, it's really a God thing.
Oof, oof, ouch, ouch, a God thing?
Yeah. Now, you probably think I'm making this up.
No. Chuck, I've known you long enough to realize you don't kid on something like this. No. I'm just shocked to hear.
I was shocked, too.
It's a God thing, because this is not from the Lord. The Lord never wanted anyone. I mean, this is why the commandments were given. This is why there are rules and instructions in the Scriptures, so that we don't go through, using the cliche we use in the American culture, to experience hell on earth. You know, if we heed the word of the Lord, we can avoid a lot of problems. You know, the commandments are given so that, not because God does not want us to have fun, on the contrary, so that God can spare us a lot of pain. Why do you tell your son or your daughter, make sure that you don't play with fire. Don't put your hand on the stove when it's hot. Don't cross the street before you look twice. Why do you say that? Is it because you hate them? No, it's because you love them. You know?
Well, I have some audio that I'd like to share with you and our listeners. From ABC News, George Stephanopoulos is the reporter here. I don't think we're going to listen to the whole thing, but we're going to listen to a couple of minutes. And the subject of the report here is the question, if your friends get divorced, will you get divorced too? Is divorce contagious? And the reporter here will describe a situation where it seems as if perhaps divorce that happens to our friends somehow makes us feel more comfortable about pursuing it ourselves. So let's listen to this together from ABC News, George Stephanopoulos.
Also, divorcing go up by as much as 147%. I guess they say the misery loves company for a reason, but could this new study actually mean that divorce is contagious? Juju has more on this story.
For more than three decades, Dan Trimble thought he had a picture-perfect marriage.
The 32 years that we were married, for the most part, were very good years.
Two beautiful daughters, a life of adventure.
We were traveling all over the world.
But Dan says all that changed about 2 years ago when his daughter Alicia and his grandchildren moved back home.
Your legs hurt?
Alicia soon divorced her husband and began dating a high school friend.
She had gotten out of a bad situation and now her life was starting to improve.
Dan and his daughter believe Alicia's divorce and new life, in a way, inspired Dan's wife. Just a month after Alicia got remarried, her mom asked Dan for a divorce.
Seeing how I came through it in a better place kind of pushed them to stand up and say, I'm not happy in my own marriage.
The best way I can describe it is that it's a disease. My marriage was in kind of a rough shape at that point in time. She saw what was happening with our oldest daughter, and I think that it kind of was a catalyst.
Can divorce spread like a virus, a disease, through a family or a group of friends? Professor James Fowler says yes.
It spreads in more or less the same way. When one person experiences divorce, it gives the people around them information about what that's like.
All right, let's stop it right there, Pastor Knorr. Obviously, as you heard, a study has been put out, and that study seems to suggest that if your friends get divorced, the chances of you getting divorced go up. Now, what were you thinking as you were listening to this audio?
I wanted to laugh because people don't just get divorced because your friend get divorced. Just because you shoot yourself, okay, doesn't mean that you... just because your friends shoot themselves does not mean that you're going to go and shoot yourself. Just because somebody runs in front of a car and gets hurt, that does not mean that you're going to do this.
Yeah, same. But Pastor, I never, ever, ever want to shoot myself, and I never, ever, ever want to wreck my car, but there are people who are listening to us right now who are thinking about divorce, who are wondering if they took that step, how they would proceed. That's a little bit different.
Well, maybe I'm naive to think that way. I don't believe just because the daughter got a divorce, the mother got a divorce just because it felt comfortable. There are other issues. There are other issues on the surface. She is hiding behind that thing. And if they think that it's a catalyst because one person is doing it and got along with that, I don't believe that at all. Not for one moment. I don't. I do not believe that at all because this is not how it works. Anymore, and this is completely going the other direction, this is completely, if you say, well, now, today is Friday, today, even though it's Tuesday, but let's assume it's Friday. You wake up one day and you say, I'm going to have an affair. You don't do that. It's something that you've been thinking about, something you maybe not thought about it fully, but it's just a gradual thing that just occurs, and the devil lets that carrot dangle in front of you and says, you know, your life will be better. I didn't catch the name of the person that spoke about being 32 years happy with his wife, okay? I cannot believe that I'm almost, well, I am 33 already with my wife, starting 34 here. I can't believe my wife would just walk in one day and says, well, you know, I want out. I don't believe that, because there are certain issues, parameters, regulations in the home that you set up. But if there are trouble in the home and you ignore them and you don't talk about them, before too long, they blow up.
Let's take a telephone call here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from Baldwin. Hi, John. You're on the Bible study.
Hello, pastors. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. I am one who has been through a divorce, and your definition is really strong, and it gets to the point. Now, my wife and I did remarry. We were...
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We were divorced 6 months, and basically I fell into the deception. I neglected the Word of God, and I started to believe lies, and that yes, things might be better if we were divorced. You know, I was going through a support group, and they said for the sake of my recovery, because there's too much on me, marriage was, God wants us to be happy, He wants us to be free, and for the sake of my recovery, that it might be better. So I ended up believing that, and I ended up, you know, divorcing my wife, and but it was very painful, and God did a work in my heart, and she graciously took me back, and we were married within 6 months.
So, John, did you hear the audio that I just played from ABC?
Yes, I did, actually.
What's your reaction to what you heard?
You know, in a society, you know, yes, in particular my group, there were multiple divorces going on at the time when, in the support group that I was going in, and, you know, people were saying, yes, it was difficult, but it gave them peace, and I was, you know, I was believing that. And, but I was neglecting the Word of God. I was neglecting the fellowship of believers.
Let me ask you one more question, John, and then thank you for your call and being willing to share with us. As you were listening,
Saint Chuck, don't release him. We want to have a prayer with him before he takes off.
Okay, John, stay with us here. Okay. The question I have for you is: you have revealed to us that you divorced your wife, and in part the reason you divorced was because you were fed a series of lies from a variety of sources, which I guess eventually you disproved, causing you to remarry. Did the position that you heard here on the ABC audio, that when people get divorced, that sort of frees other people up to get divorced and feel good about it, did that sound like a lie to you?
Yes, I mean, it is. I mean, being through what I've been through, I could say that it is a lie. You know, it is not better on the other side, and... I mean, I'm speaking from as a point viewpoint of a believer. There are many people in my group that are not believers. But, you know, but still nevertheless, since I, you know, even though I was a believer, I was neglecting the fellowship of believers, and that was basically my fellowship.
Okay. John, would it be okay for Pastor Noor to pray here?
Sure. I did have a quick question.
Sure.
Absolutely. Fire away. My question was, in my support group that I was coming in, they were saying, you know, that for our recovery, you know, we need not depend upon getting our wives or jobs back in order to be successful in recovery. But where it came down to, I had no peace. I could get no peace. Now, I know that God forgives sin, all sin. Had I not come to the point where God moved in my life, but had I continued to resist the Holy Spirit, and I know He would have forgiven me, but would I continue to have no peace if I would have continued to resist, you know, reuniting with my wife?
All right.
Would there have never been
If I understand you correctly, if you remained in the state of divorce, you would not have had peace. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Okay. Okay, the answer more than likely is true, that you would not have peace, because you were not only shunning your wife, but you were shunning the Lord Himself. And when the Lord Jesus Christ rules in our heart, peace rules in our homes. For Jesus himself said, I give you peace, not like the world's. The world has conditional of peace. Jesus' peace is different. His peace is based on his merit of sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, atoning for our sins, wiping away that sin and making us his beloved, redeemed children. And when we confess our sins on Sunday morning or any time for that matter in the presence of God, God takes that and we are reconciled and thus have peace. And so, yes, the answer would be true. Anytime you run away from God, there is no peace. But until you make that peace with the Lord and that relationship grows, you understand why your heart is at peace, regardless of the situation.
Amen.
Does that answer your question, St. John?
Yes, it did, Pastor. Thank you very much.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for where you have taken John and his beloved bride. Though they have walked through a painful valley, you have opened their eyes to confess their faults and to be reunited again. May you bind the devil from their homes and their hearts and their heads, and may you continue to bless them richly as they communicate and fellowship first and foremost with you and then with each other. And may that marriage and the relationship they have gone through would be one of blessing, not only to them, but for those who see them. To that end, hear us for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
You bet. You know, St. John, if you were in my parish, I would use you and your wife as an example for pre-marriage counseling. I would give you a young couple to spend about an hour and two just to talk to them about it.
Except you have to move to South Dakota, John.
Well, that's true, but I said if.
All right, thank you, John.
Thank you.
So, Pastor, how does John's experience and his sharing his story with us inform this question that we have on the table here now? Because I'm a little suspicious here. I'm sorry to be suspicious, but sometimes I wonder if a study published like this is designed to tell us what's going on or is designed to encourage what people want to be going on.
You know, I have heard that you can have any kind of study to bring about any kind of results. Now, I don't know who did the study because I didn't pay any attention to who did that study. But I want to know if that study is done by Christians who adhere to the precious word of the living God. Somehow, some way, the act of divorce is a topic that is not any longer taboo. If you go back, Chuck, when you were a young child, you're not that old now, but when you were a young child, people didn't talk about divorce as we do today. You hardly heard it. But today, it seems like, oh, it's no big deal. It's kind of like premarital sex or having children out of wedlock. I mean, when I was in high school in 1970s, when a young lady got pregnant, they shipped her out of the high school to her grandpa or somewhere on the farm, and then, but now they bring that child to the high school and they have special education classes and stuff, and I'm not against this or that, but there's no shame anymore in the sin. The same things with divorce. There's no shame in it.
But are you advocating we bring back shame?
Absolutely. I'm advocating that you stand on the Word of God, for the Word of God does not coerce you to do the things that is contrary to His will, but guides you by the Spirit's power to live with that Word so that you might bring glory to the name that is put upon you.
Pastor Knorr has done it again. He's opened up a big can of worms right here before the bottom of the hour break, and I see Lael is on the phone here. She wants to weigh in. If you want to share a thought as we're talking about divorce, 21st century American style, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Perhaps you have a story to share or an experience to share on this question. Pastor Nabil Knorr is our guest, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Armour, South Dakota, and we'll be back. How is religion expressed through creativity? And what makes for effective communication of your faith? Questions like these will be explored when Concordia Seminary offers a summer workshop, Faith and Creative Writing, August 9 through 11. The workshop will be led by Reverend Travis Scholl, editor of the Concordia Journal, and Peter Mead of Creative Communications. Call 314-505-7486 or visit csl.edu.
If you'd like to generate some enthusiasm for your next church or school event, be sure and tell us about it here at KFUO Radio. It's a datebook event, whether it's a concert, barbecue, or seminar, and we'll promote it for you following weather at the top of each hour during the broadcast day. Send your datebook event to dsummers@kfuo.org, and then we'll give you a plug on the air. Generate some excitement about your next event through KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Blogger Wesley Smith made an interesting observation that bears repeating. Whatever happened to embryonic stem cell research, our only hope for treatments and cures? A who's who of stem cell researchers met in San Francisco to discuss the latest developments. And embryonic stem cells weren't what they wanted to talk about. The scientific community is all a flutter about the advances in adult stem cells. Did you know there's no ongoing embryonic stem cell medical trials? But huge gains are being made using adult stem cells without the need to kill any human embryos. So, has the media and politically correct crowd apologized for calling us adult stem cell people anti-science Neanderthals? No, and I'm not holding my breath. The victory in itself is all we need.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Christians for Israel. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. Thousands of pastors and churchgoers are meeting in Washington at the annual conference of Christians United for Israel. Executive Director David Brog says members believe in a Bible mandate to support Israel and the Jewish people, but not necessarily all of the Israeli government's policies. Brog adds that Christians United for Israel is not an organization that seeks to convert Jews.
Our organization is not one for sharing the gospel.
Speakers at the conference are to include the Reverend John Hagee and Israeli Ambassador to the U.S., Michael Orr. Officials in Pakistan say gunmen killed two Pakistani Christian brothers accused of blasphemy against Islam as they left court on Monday. The men were chained together when the attack took place as they were being taken back into custody after their court appearance. Pakistan's Minister for Minority Affairs says he suspects the brothers were falsely accused by people with a grudge against them. I'm Steve Coleman.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, with a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AM 850 KFUO underwriter.
Now showing at the Omnimax Theater at the St. Louis Science Center, the movie Hubble. Hubble vividly recounts the amazing journey of the most important scientific instrument since Galileo's original telescope and the greatest success in space since the moon landing, the Hubble Space Telescope. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com/SLSC. Change your view of the universe with the IMAX movie Hubble at the St. Louis Science Center.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Again, our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest today in this hour of conversation is Pastor Nabil Noor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Lael has been holding on through the break. Let's take that phone call. Good morning, Lael.
Good morning, Pastor. Thanks for this conversation.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Nabil. I am ashamed. I have had two divorces, and I am ashamed of that. And I do talk to people about that in terms of the effects that the whole family has. And if I had clearly understood the Lord's word at the time, I probably would not be, because the Lord does work through us and to love our spouse. in such a way that is required for a wife to love their husband or respect their husband. But the weird thing is that I did notice is when I was divorced, like there were like five people on my block that got divorced. And I don't know if it was, and I don't know that they were believers necessarily, but it was like an epidemic that it seemed like. It just, I couldn't believe it. I don't know if it gives them license to or what, but it was just a strange effect that happened. So those were my thoughts.
Let me ask this question, if I may, Leolam. Do you think you were just more aware that others are divorced around you, or is it just because it just followed you? What do you think? Do you understand my question?
These were people that we knew and we related with. It happened after we were divorced. It was bizarre.
Interesting.
Huh.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Saint Leo. The only thing that I can think of, Chuck, you know, the devil has, he is the father of lies. He always... Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, something was beeping here. But I was saying the devil is the father of lies, and he can connive in any manner that he so desire. And sometimes he just permeates around us with this aroma that everything is hunky-dory, and so if somebody does it, there's a possibility that if I do it again, it's no big deal. Now, is it like what they said in the opening tape that you played for me? I don't know. I really don't know if it gives them a license or they get ahead further or what. I don't know how to answer that question. All I know is that the devil does not want any of God's children to be happy, and he will do whatever it takes to destroy their lives.
Pastor Noor, I want to take up a different topic here, and you'll forgive me if this is a little bit tacky, but I have a very serious question that I want to ask you. You may be aware that the actress Lindsay Lohan is going to jail today. You probably don't follow that kind of stuff, do you?
I only happen to know of it for one thing, I was at the convention for 10 days, so I hadn't really had much to even watch television. I just happened to know it because it came on the discussion when we were having a bite to eat with somebody. That's the only reason I know actually about it.
Well, here's a story from the Daily News Writer written by Christy Cavanaugh. The headline is, Lindsay Lohan remains convinced she can avoid jail time, says dad Michael is crazy and scares her. The story says a day before she's set to hit the slammer, which actually is today, Lindsay Lohan still thinks she can avoid serving time. Sources connected to Lohan told TMZ.com that her new lawyer, Robert Shapiro, has still not convinced the troubled actress that she must surrender to her 90-day jail sentence Tuesday. Even though Shapiro reportedly stipulated that Lohan agreed to jail time when he signed on as her new lawyer on Friday, the 24-year-old woman remains convinced she will be able to avoid the pokey. Her dad, Michael, however, isn't so sure. Michael told TMZ he feels Shapiro should appeal Lindsay's jail sentence. I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest, Michael said. If he's representing her ethically as an attorney, he should have filed an appeal. Michael told the gossip site that he still hopes to find a lawyer to file an appeal for his famous daughter. Lindsay Lohan, however, isn't exactly seeking her dad's help these days, and then it goes on to describe her troubled relationship with her dad. Now, here's my question. This is a woman who is set to enter, I believe it's the Los Angeles County Jail today, to serve what most experts think will be at least one-third of her 90-day jail sentence. As of yesterday, she was still convinced that she was not going to be put in jail. And it occurred to me that there are a lot of people who view eternal judgment this way. Lindsay Lohan has committed a series of improprieties. She has been involved with drugs. She has been arrested. She has been convicted. All the evidence is there that she's going to jail. But in her head, somehow she thinks that she's going to avoid that. And I wonder if there are people, even Christian people, who live like the world, who feel like when the time comes to stand before Almighty God, the way Lindsay Lohan stood before the judge, well, they're not really going to go to hell. They're not really going to suffer jail time, as Lindsay Lohan believes that she will not. Do you see any parallels there?
Well, of course. One of the things that has transpired in our culture of late, good brother, is this, that people don't take God's word truthfully and honestly. And we have seen that even in the other denomination that bears our Lutheran name, where they deny the inerrancy of the Scripture and homosexuality and all the like. But the time is going to come when you have to stand in judgment. You know, my father-in-law, who is sainted now, used to say, you can fool me, you can fool yourself, but you cannot fool God. And the aspect is, a lot of people are fooling themselves, just like Lindsay Lohan, thinking that with all of the money she has, she's able to do whatever she wants to do without any ramification. But eventually, she is going to have to answer to that and realize that, you know, you might run away for a while, you might get away from here, but eventually you have to stand before the throne of grace. They're just fooling themselves.
There's a story today, and it reads, a sad-eyed Lindsay Lohan sat somber before Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Marcia Revelle Tuesday morning today before she was carted off to the slammer. Unless there's anything else, I'm going forward with remanding at this time, Revelle said during the five-minute hearing. The judge acknowledged she doesn't know how much of the 90-day bid Lohan will actually serve. It's been suggested that she will serve about one-third of the time because of jail overcrowding. The scene outside the courthouse looked like a movie premiere, with Lohan walking past a throng of shutterbugs and flashbulbs, but it was no red carpet. And so off to jail she goes, Pastor, and my heart breaks for those people who someday, in an eternal sense, will be off to hell they go, even though in the moments before they closed their eyes in death, they were sure that somehow, some way, they were going to avoid the sentence. If what I've described is true, how ought we to be motivated by that?
Well, you know, one of the things that you and I are privileged as servant of the Most High God is to communicate the good news. We share in love with the people around us the message of hope and resurrection. We call people to repentance, but ultimately it's not up to me to cause anyone to convert. That is the working of the Holy Spirit. We are faithful. We are diligent, and we do what God has called us to do, to proclaim the message of hope. Some will heed the warning and believe and follow the Savior. Others are going to make fun of us as we proclaim the message. Nothing has changed. Jeremiah was laughed at. So was Isaiah. So was Elisha. So was Jesus. You remember, he was on the cross and they were laughing at him still. We are no different as his faithful followers proclaiming the good news. What is it that motivates us? Not fear, but the joy of seeing someone in the presence of the eternal Lamb, Jesus Christ.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Dennis. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you, sir?
Fine. Good morning, St. Dennis.
What?
I said, good morning, St. Dennis.
Oh, St. Dennis. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, I tell you why I'm calling. Mostly for people, I would say that they're in their 30s or 20s, like I was when I first got married. Always find yourself a Lutheran girl, somebody that has gone to parochial school, learned her alphabet, and at the same time learned about Christ. Now, I'm Greek, and all my services were Greek to me until I met this girl, And I fell in love with her. 58 years of married life. She left me 4 years ago. She's dead. And I just want to tell you that I think married her from St. Charles, way back in the days when St. Charles was what you'd call a rural area. In fact, I might say I married the farmer's daughter. But I think it's very important, especially certain things like in Jeremiah, how it starts out, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I used to think of that, and who told me that? Was her. She was so full of the Bible in that.
All right.
And just beautiful. I think that works a great deal. It sure did on me.
Let's see what Pastor Noor has to say.
Okay.
Well, St. Dennis, you are Greek. I'm a Palestinian. I'm an Arab, and I married a Lutheran lady. And I'm not so sure if it just have to be Lutheran, although I would hope that we would marry Lutheran women who are grounded in the Word. And I've often taught my people, especially as I do pre-marriage counseling, the people who pray together, the people who worship together, will not break the bonds of love and peace. When you are before the throne daily as husband and wife, when you are committed to walking in the ways of the Lord, you will bring honor and glory to Him. It's when we choose to be only Sunday Christians, to look good for the people on the outside, as the saint who called before, who was deceived by the lies of the world, then we lose focus of what it is that God has called us to do. And remember, life as a married life is never easy. That does not mean that you don't have problems. You just learn to work with them. I'm working right now with a young couple. They're not that young, in their mid-50s. And one of the comments, they said, well, we really don't fight that much. And I says, you know, that's really not that great. Well, they were kind of shocked. And I says, why? The problem is, if you don't learn how to fight, you don't learn how to work through the problems. When you don't fight, the problems are still there. You just never address them. When you fight, you say, okay, it's time to sit down and talk, rather than going sullen to the other room and give the quiet treatment or withhold relationships or whatever. You just walk away from it, and that never solves problem unless you sit down across and say, sweetheart, I am so sorry I have hurt you with my words or my action. Please forgive me. You are not making progress.
Well, Pastor Noor, back to Lindsay Lohan. I wish I could show you the photograph that I'm looking at now. The two photographs, they are pictures from Lohan's appearance before the judge. And in the first photograph, and this is a very beautiful girl. I think most people know that. She's a lovely girl. She has pretty much everything that the world has to offer. She's only 24 years of age, but her face is contorted by grief, tears running out of her eyes. She's overwrought. The second picture, she has her left hand covering her nose and her mouth as she is sobbing. The story says, no more excuses, she's going to jail. Describes the judge as irate, as she sentenced the sobbing star to 90 days behind bars. She received no sympathy from L.A. Superior Court Judge Marsha Revelle, who found that she violated probation on a pair of 2007 DUI busts. And overwrought, Lindsay Lohan made a weeping last-ditch plea for freedom. And that's where I'd kind of like you to focus your attention here, Pastor. A weepy last-ditch plea for freedom, bizarrely invoking her charity work with Moroccan children at one point. Lohan says, I'm not taking this as a joke, in a rambling speech that she broke down twice. It's my life. It's my career. I've learned. Does any of that sound like what you think somebody who is shocked to find out that as they hear the words from our Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me into everlasting hellfire, that it'll look sort of like this?
That is a very good analogy. Let me just share this much, and maybe in my sharing that might bring somewhat of an understanding of this. Sunday and yesterday, we had my wife's cousin from Mexico. They were visiting with us. And he was telling me about Miguel. That's the gentleman that they knew. And when they knew him, he was a devoted husband and a caring man and all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden he started to have affairs, and he has two children out of wedlock now, and he's in the process of getting divorced. And my wife's uncle made this statement. My wife's cousin made this statement. Says, you know, Nabil, his face has even changed. His color has even changed. He looked ragged. He looked haphazard. He just looks ugly. I mean, that which is on the inside has been transferred to the outside. And I think when the reality of things hit, and I don't know where Lindsay is in her confession of faith or her repentance, you know, where she's at. So I'll have to leave that on the judgment and mercy of God for his kindness and compassion. But when you are not with the Lord, you are not as radiant in both your heart and in your face. So I'm hoping that will answer that. When you are not in the presence of God, when you're not walking and talking with God, you don't have that radius. Think of Moses when he came off the visit with God. His face glowed, and people had to cover his face because it was so glorious. That's how it is for us as Christians when we are in the presence of the Holy One. We glow with the peace of God and the joy of God. But when you are not connected to the Lord, you are severed. And problems do arise and difficulties do come to the forefront. This does not mean that as Christians we don't have pain or trouble. Don't hear me say that. That's not what I'm saying. We do have problems. We do have difficulties. But God sustains us and God upholds us in the hours of difficulties.
I feel like when we talk about Christianity, when we talk about the point, the purpose of Christianity, its meaning, that for so many people, including some people who call themselves Christians, eternity, heaven, hell, judgment, eternal life, is just not really on the table. It's all about self-improvement or appropriate behavior or any of a number of other things other than the eternal outcome. Do you think I've overstated this?
Nope. I think you said it so truly, in the sense that, because that's what the media says. And if you look at any library today, or any bookstore for that matter, what do you see? How many 7 points to improve your life? 8 points to make your marriage stronger? 10 points to get along better with your children or with your spouse? It's what you have to do. The focus is not on what you need to do. The focus is on what Christ has done for us. And people turn this around because it feels so good. See, you have to do something to earn God's favor, and it just makes it so sad that the media and many of the evangelical churches out there are doing the same things. They are just communicating, this is what you have to do to be right with God. So what you say, Saint Chuck, is accurate to the core.
Pastor Nora, have you ever had occasion, either with a friend or a loved one, a family member perhaps, or even maybe someone in your pastoral care, where as you listened to them talk, it became apparent to you that they were doing everything they could to try to please God and earn His favor? Maybe you were surprised because you thought this person had a Christ-centered understanding of how salvation works, but now you're surprised to find out that, no, they're working very hard to earn their way to heaven, and that's where their confidence is. Have you ever had that moment?
Just yesterday I was talking to a saint, and she had mentioned that she had gone to one pastor and she was asking for help, and the pastor didn't pray with her the salvation prayer, and she was so mad, so she went to another pastor, and right away he said the salvation prayer. You know what I mean by the salvation prayer?
Right, yeah,
Anyway, and I...
Explain it to our
listeners.
Yeah.
The salvation prayer is that when you say, I repent of my sin and I have chosen to follow Jesus. And that's a summation of that. And I said to her, that's hogwash. She looked at me kind of funny, and she says, what do you mean? I says, you know, that prayer is all about what I need to do for God. And I followed that statement by saying, let me ask you this. How long do you have to be in the casket before you say, I'm going to rise from the dead? She says, I don't know. I says, well, think about it again. How long do you have to be in the casket? We made the story to realize that you can't. And then I took her to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, where it talks again, you were dead in your sins and transgressions, but God made you alive. You can't rise from the grave. You can't say, I have decided to follow Jesus. You can't make a decision to say that I am going to repent of my sin. The Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel, enlightens you by His word, and leads you to acknowledge that you are a sinner and to receive the grace of God.
Were her eyes opened?
Oh, yes. She gave me a big hug. She says, really? I said, yes. And I says, I hate to take this punch away from you, but what you are doing is all what you are trying to do for God rather than what God has done. You are saying to Jesus, your death is not good enough. I need to do these things. She says, I never thought of it that way. She gave me a big hug when she left.
Now, is this somebody in your congregation?
No, not in my parish.
So since you know that maybe the next person she encounters, or a friend, or another pastor down the road, or the world, is going to now undermine that message that you got through to her, are you concerned about that? Do you feel like you need to keep in touch? What do you do?
I always do. For one thing, I've been in this parish now for 16 years. July the 24th, which is this Saturday, it will be my 16th anniversary as the pastor. So I'm very well known in the community. But I do use my email account to do a lot of ministry, to reaching out to others. And so I will stay in touch, continue to confirm the word. And one of the things I would always share with people, not my opinion, but the word of the living God. I always point them to the scripture so that they might take hold of that which God has given to them. And so that's kind of where I concentrate on. I point them to the word and let the word do the speaking. Because I can make mistakes. You can make mistakes. We can say something that can be taken out of context and can be turned around. But with the Lord, it makes a world of difference as far as that's concerned.
Well, Pastor North, thank you for wrestling with these two tough issues here today on Ask the Pastor. God's blessings to you as you continue your parish ministry at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much. God's richest blessings, and to all of the saints and to those who have called, may God's blessings be upon you.
Pastor Nabil Noor, our guest here on our Ask the Pastor Bible study tomorrow. Well, we're going to start in Deuteronomy. We'll do an introduction to the entire book, kind of an overview with Pastor Tom Eckstein of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota. And Pastor Kurt Taylor will be our Ask the Pastor guest.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.